Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Happy to have you along as we begin today by talking with author Kathleen Ernst. She's an author, educator, social historian, forestry major in college. Her first job was at Old World Wisconsin. It's a living history museum in Eagle, Wisconsin, and there she immersed herself in history and used it as an inspiration for her writing. And she's written for youth and adults as well as for television. Her most recent book is The Heirloom Murders. It's book two in the Chloe Ellefson Historic Sites Mystery Series, and it is set at Old World, Wisconsin. And I talked with her when her first book came out, and Kathleen, I'm forgetting the title of it.
Old World Murder.
Old World Murder. There you go. I had it there somewhere, but it just went away. And I enjoyed that book very much, and it was fun talking with you, so it's great. And I enjoyed The Heirloom Murders, just finished it.
Well, I'm delighted to be here. Thank you, Larry.
You can join in with your questions and comments. Maybe you've read Old World Murder. Maybe you've already gotten your hands on a copy of The Heirloom Murders and want to comment on that. Or maybe you visited Old World, Wisconsin. What really stuck with you when you visited there? A lot of the things, the points in Kathleen's book relate, of course, to Old World, Wisconsin and what's going on there. So it's a very fun read, and I know you're going to enjoy it. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Your books are really kind of love letters to history in a way.
They are indeed. I had the pleasure and privilege of working at a spectacular site in Old World, Wisconsin for 12 years. And I realized after I moved on just how much I missed it, how much I missed the place, and also how much I had enjoyed sharing with visitors stories, big and small, about Wisconsin's past. So now as a novelist, I'm in the wonderful spot where I can shine a little bit of lantern light on some of those stories again through the pages in my mystery novels.
And we're talking about Old World, Wisconsin in both the show segments today. So let's make sure people who haven't had a chance to visit know what goes on there. So maybe you can set that stage for us.
Yes. Old World, Wisconsin is really a state and I believe a national treasure. It's one of the state-run historic sites. It's set on about 570 acres within the southern Kettle Moraine Forest, and museum staff have relocated and moved and reassembled, I'm not sure what they're up to now, perhaps about 50 historic buildings from all over the site. And when visitors tour today, they see working farmsteads and community buildings that have been restored to a period from 1845 to 1915. And interpreters who work in period clothing are on hand going about daily life and are eager to share stories about the state's past and the ethnic groups and the family's past with guests as they tour.
So it's wonderful. And in this book, you really bring out some wonderful aspects of the immigrants that populated Wisconsin and their cultures, too. And in the book, your character, your main character, Chloe, spends a lot of time in New Glarus.
Yes. In the first book, Old World Murder, Chloe, who was the curator there, and the mystery are both pretty focused on Old World, Wisconsin. And as the series progresses, I really wanted to be able to get her out and about a little bit more and highlight some other places. And there's a wonderful Swiss-American enclave in Greene County that I have enjoyed visiting many, many times. And I wanted to explore a little bit of that culture. So I have Chloe visiting an old farm and the couple that lives there in the book.
And it's kind of funny. I think one of your characters says it's more Swiss than the Switzerland.
a character who comes from Switzerland at one point makes that comment, and it's a comment that I have heard. And I think that gets to some very interesting questions about culture and our own choices about cultural identity, both as individuals and then also as communities. Certainly, New Glarus in particular has a rich and wonderful immigrant history. But also, it's also true that certain choices have been made along the way to help promote that and to turn New Glarus into a place where people can come as tourists and guests to learn more about Swiss history and culture.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Well, maybe you could share some of those cultural markers, like the cheese, for example.
Yes, cheese. I had the great fun of doing research about the cheese-making traditions in the Greene County area among some of the Swiss farmers. And a couple of very interesting things came to light. I started, when I was reading the early memoirs and diaries and reminiscences, I came across references to a cheese I had never heard of before called Sapsago. And the diarists referred to it as something that was green. The cheese was green. And that they liked to have it in particular if they weren't feeling well because it had medicinal properties. And I thought that that was perhaps something that had disappeared into the mists of time. But when I started chatting with longtime residents in Greene County and the area, not only did they remember it, some of them enjoy it today. It's a very hard cheese that can still be imported, and people enjoy grating that over buttered noodles or something like that. And I'm an old foodie, so I always appreciate learning about food traditions. And another one that's a lot of fun was discovering a bread called Swiss pear bread. And I'm going to put a recipe for that up on my website soon.
Oh, Swiss pear bread.
Swiss pear bread, which is absolutely delicious. Evidently, it was very common in the old country where pears were abundant and women dried a lot of pears for the winter. And then all winter long, they could bake this bread. It's flavored with a little bit of aniseed, and it's marvelous.
Mm.
And a variety of different types of pear bread recipes came to the New World. And as the years have gone by, cooks have adapted the recipe a little bit, adding different types of fruit in. Pears are always the anchor, but different types of dried fruit. And it was fun to talk with different bakers, home bakers in the area, and discover that what Baker A thought was the perfect addition, Baker B said, no, I would never put that in my pear bread. And it's just a marvelous bread that tastes good today, but also has a lot to say about the evolution of the dish from Switzerland to the New World.
Kathleen Ernst, our guest today, author of The Heirloom Murders. It's the second in her series of murder mysteries, featuring Chloe Ellefson and of course, set at Old World, Wisconsin. We had had some callers online. We lost them. Well, let's give you a chance to call back. Give us a call with your questions or comments. Maybe you read Old World Murder. Maybe you're reading The Heirloom Murders. Maybe you have a question or comment about visiting Old World, Wisconsin. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org or go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mealer Show, and you can post a question there. And also we have a link there to Kathleen's website, where she's got lots of great information on that website, including locations guides.
Yes.
I love that. It's a wonderful idea.
My husband, Scott, put a locations guide together first for Old World Murder, and he's also done one for the Heirloom Murders, and they are posted on my website. What we were discovering right after Old World Murder came out, I was hearing from people who had never been to Old World, Wisconsin, and some of them wrote and said, well, after reading your book, I plan to. Can you tell me what I should see? And others said, well, I live way too far away to get there, but I'm really curious. So the location guide features photographs of all the real places that show up in my book. And I work very hard to include real buildings and real places and even real businesses sometimes if I love them. And so the locations guides are a great way for people to get a closer look at the heart of the book.
Well, let's take some calls. We have Kathy from Madison online, so let's go to her. Kathy, hi. Thank you for calling.
Sure. Hi, Kathleen.
Kathy.
I just finished reading your book, the most recent one, and I loved it.
Oh,
and I also
thank you.
Wanted to comment on your website, too. It's a nice place to visit to really immerse yourself in different places.
Oh, well, thank you so much.
You're welcome. I have two comments or questions about your book. One is, how do you pronounce the name of the police officer?
Relke.
Okay.
Good question.
Sometimes I read books and I can't figure out how to pronounce
yes.
the main character's name. And the other question is, I just love the older couple that you feature in this story.
Oh.
And I was wondering if they were based on real people, and I hope they were, or if you just conjured them up from your imagination.
Oh, well, thank you for asking that. They actually are based on real people, and I won't mention that by name, but I had the great pleasure of working at Old World Wisconsin in the 1980s when some of the people who had lived in these original buildings that I was now working in were still able to come and visit the site, or at times I was able to visit them and learn a little bit more about their life and how they used the buildings.
Mm-hmm.
And without exception, they were just delightful, charming, gracious people who were very kind to a young woman who was new to Wisconsin. And I've held the group of them in my heart for all these years. And mm-hmm. the Swiss couple is really sort of my own little quiet tribute to all of them.
That really came through. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. 1-800-642-1234, the number to call if you'd like to join in. Maybe you could set the stage for us, probably a good thing to do for this particular book.
Yes, the Heirloom Murders takes place in the summer of 1982, and Chloe is getting her feet on the ground. She's fairly new to her job at Old World Wisconsin, but she's settling in. And then she's helping a friend in the village of Eagle, whose parents, before they were killed in an automobile accident, were very involved in getting the Eagle Historical Society established. And Eagle does have a wonderful historical society. I need to slide that in there. And it very quickly emerges that her parents might have had some information, perhaps, about a wonderful legend or true story that comes out of Eagle's history. In 1876, a huge diamond was found by a man digging a well. And it started a real sort of diamond boom, although no other large diamonds were found. And that particular diamond, the Eagle Diamond, eventually disappeared. And throughout time, people have wondered what happened to it. And so that question is one of the strong themes of the of the book and the mystery.
It's a great addition to the book, I can tell you that for sure. Oh, man. Mike in Waukesha has a question for you. Hi, Mike.
Good morning.
Morning.
I love history, but I have a comment about I think Old World Wisconsin is a real gem, and I wish more people would visit it. But I want to make a comment about how important it is to bring history alive so that young people actually see it as more than just a textbook and names and dates. An example, I've been traveling to Irish Fest for many years, and I would always stop at the genealogy tent and ask questions about Civil War history. Well, last year, this past month, I found out that I had a namesake who fought in Gettysburg and lost a leg and is buried in Fond du Lac, and it just blew me away and made me become even more passionate about the Civil War.
Yes.
And now I have to say that I'm hooked on the Civil War and I can't get enough of it.
I think it's so true. First of all, the fact that you have a personal connection, that makes it very special. But even to your very first point, Old World Wisconsin and other historic sites do bring history alive in a way that can be very, very meaningful to all visitors, but especially to young people. And we all learn about history in different ways. And I think it's important that we all expose our children to as many different ways as we can to get hooked on history.
Absolutely. And Mike, to your point about the Civil War, I have a whole library of books devoted to the Civil War. So I'm kind of with you on that one. Well, another main character, one of the main characters in the book is a historical gardener.
Yes.
At Old World. And after 11:45, we'll be talking with the real one.
The real one.
Marcia Carmichael. Why'd you choose to focus so much on the importance of seed-saving techniques of the early settlers?
Well, when I moved to Wisconsin, I'm not born and bred in Wisconsin. I moved here in 1982 to work at Old World. And I knew absolutely nothing about heirloom gardening until I did take the job. And for most of the years that I was there, we had a gardener named Mary Klug, and she taught me so much about not just how to raise heirloom vegetables, but how important it is that historic sites play a role in preserving some of these varieties that otherwise could easily have gone extinct. And we've lost thousands and thousands of varieties. And I was always fascinated by that and by the important arc role that sites have in preserving flowers and vegetables and fruits and also livestock. So when I was thinking about themes for my second book, The Heirloom Murders, that one really kind of bubbled to the top, and I wanted to spend a little time with that.
Kathleen Ernst, our guest today, she is the author of The Heirloom Murders, the second in the Chloe Ellefson Historic Sites Mystery Series set in Old World Wisconsin. Questions for her, give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. I'm Larry Mueller. Judith Sears-Poisson, our producer here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking with Kathleen Ernst today about Old World Wisconsin and her latest book, The Heirloom Murders. Great to have her along, and thank you so much for listening in. Roy in Ripon has a question or comment, so let's go to Roy. Hi, Roy. Thank you for calling.
Hey. I just wanted to make a comment about how much I really enjoyed when I got to go down to Old World, Wisconsin. I was basically raised by my grandfather, who was born in 1899.
Oh.
So I got a lot of stories from him, and also doing work when I was a teenager for her sister, who was born 3 years before him. And I found out that about my Danish heritage, and they have the Danish homestead down there. And after walking through that house and finding out that it was supposed to be dated from about the 1870s, that was the time at which my great-great-grandfather, Christian, settled in Wisconsin.
Oh, how very special. That must have been a wonderful moment.
Yes, as a matter of fact, I've been to a lot of the different interactive sites like Old World Wisconsin, Heritage Hill, Galloway House in Fond du Lac, and I really, really would like to be able to do that someday, to be an interpreter.
I think you should keep that dream alive, because I know when I worked at the site, we loved having people apply from all ages, and people that bring their own interest in their family tree and their own life experience to the job make wonderful interpreters. So yeah. I hope you can follow that.
Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call, Roy. Renee in Whitewater, we turn to you next. Hi, Renee.
Hi, I worked with you, Kathleen, Renee Pro at Old World a long time
ago. Hi, Renee.
Hi, and I now I'm a professor of geography, but I am also interested in mystery writing, and I'm curious, are your books set in Old World as it was at the period of the settlers, or is it set in modern day? You said she's a curator, so
Yes, well, you should feel right at home if you have the chance to read one of them.
I definitely want to.
I decided to set the books in the time that I knew the historic site best. So they are set in 1982, and as the series progresses, time will progress as well through the 80s, I hope. I set it that way for several different reasons. It's the time I knew best. Second, visitors that have their own relationship with these buildings and these historic sites today, I wanted to put a little space between their experience and these stories. And it also just helps me in writing the mystery plots, because there isn't as much handy technology around.
I love that. I love that fact that there are no cell phones, for example.
Exactly. You can't look anything up really quickly.
Okay. Well, it sounds wonderful, and I look forward to reading them.
Oh, Renee, thanks so much. Thanks for calling.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Thank you very much for calling. Yeah, I love that fact. And it gives you kind of a different feel. You keep that, well, why doesn't she go to her? Oh, wait a minute.
There are no cell
phones.
Why doesn't she leave a message on his voicemail? Yeah. Oh, there is no voicemail. It makes my job easier, actually, a lot easier.
I think in some ways it could, yeah. We have an email from Lorraine in Durand. When you hear about antiques and other collectibles, you hear the term provenance.
Yes.
What does that mean? She said.
Well, that's a great question. Provenance has to do with what is known about an antique's history. And curators love it if someone donates or offers to donate an antique where the donor can tell you who made it, it's been in there family for how long, all those things. Unfortunately, most of the antiques that we run across, we don't have good provenance information about. And curators then have to do a little digging themselves and try to solve the mystery of who owned this piece, who valued it, who used it. And 'cause to me, that's really the importance of any given antique. It's not just the piece itself. It's what it has to say about the people who originally handled it.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Chloe spends a lot of time in a sauna.
Yes.
In the Finnish settlement area, and she feels especially close to the women of another era mm-hmm. when she's there. Talk about that a little bit.
The sauna, and my Finnish friends would say sauna.
Sauna, yes.
The sauna is one of the historic buildings that's been restored on a 1915 Finnish farm at Old World, Wisconsin. And I had never heard of this tradition when I started working there. But it was very common on Finnish farms when those people started arriving in the late 1800s into the 1900s to find a small log building. And it was basically used as a bathhouse. It's where once a week or however often people could fire up the sauna and take a sweat bath. It's part of the culture that they brought with them. But I had read a couple of firsthand accounts where women really talked about what a special place the sauna could be for them. The women would go in there together. It was quiet. It was clean after all the work and the hubbub of keeping a family and a farm going, and perhaps a small home business as well. And whenever I stepped into the sauna, both as an interpreter and even today as a guest, I really think about those women finding such solace in that place. And so I wanted to feature that a little bit in the new book.
And Chloe, what's she like? How do you describe Chloe?
Chloe is an interesting person. She's most definitely not me, which is a question that I get a lot. She was born and raised in Wisconsin, left, lived in Europe for a while, and came back. And she's not sure at first that she even really wanted to be back home in Wisconsin. She's come to really value and appreciate that. And she's trying to settle down and do a good job in her new position. Chloe also has a personality quirk, I suppose, if you will. She has a mild receptive ability that there are times when she goes into historic buildings or walks on ground where something happened, where she gets a little sense of emotion or something that might sort of be lingering in that place. And it's certainly not anything as graphic as she sees ghosts or gets messages word for word. It's more just kind of a feeling. And I would guess that a lot of people listening might have had a similar experience mm-hmm. at some time, walking over a battlefield at Gettysburg
yes.
or stepping into an old home. And it's hard to define. It's hard to put your finger on, but it's very real.
It is very real. Marie in Prairie du Chien loves your books. Thanks for addressing the issue of depression, too. It's important for it to be covered in fiction.
Thank you so much for making that comment. I know some people were a little concerned when they read book one. And I should mention that in Old World Murder, Chloe is recovering from a bout of clinical depression in that book. But I guess I also feel it's an important thing. It's part of life, and it should be part of our fictional canon as well. And Chloe is getting better, and in book two, she's moved well beyond that, and that's also important. I didn't want her to be depressed throughout the whole series. So thank you so much for making that comment.
And you don't have to divulge, but you do. In the first book, you left us with a little cliffhanger.
I did, yes.
A little hook.
The way because this is a series, the way that I envision each book, the mystery plot in each book is totally resolved by the end of the story. But there's also a personal plot line having to do with Chloe's personal life. And that will run its way through the series. And all those questions will not be tied up neatly in a bow at the end of every book.
And, of course, one of the other main character is Relke.
Yes, Relke McKenna.
And he's kind of a stubborn guy. He's kind of like Chloe in some ways.
In some ways, and then in some ways he's very different. And that, of course, is at the heart of one of the questions in the book. Chloe's trying to figure out who would make a better partner for me, And she has to choose between someone who on the surface seems to have everything to do with her and someone who on the surface has nothing in common with her. Rilke is a good guy. He's a little bit younger than she is. He's still got a lot of things to learn. He's very stubborn. He can be meticulous to an unyielding to a hard degree sometimes. But at his core, he's a really good guy who wants the best for the community where he serves as a police officer, and he certainly wants the best for Chloe.
And in your acknowledgments, I think you acknowledge some folks from the Eagle Police Department.
Yes, I have been blessed with the support of the good men and women of the Eagle Police Department. I could not have created my character Rilke if that had not been the case. Fortunately, the chief was willing to meet with me and answer a lot of questions, and then he's also had me connect with several of his officers, and I do ride-alongs periodically and just get to know the officers and find out what kind of calls come in, how they respond, the kind of things that are everyday occurrences in a small village, and yet I fortunately know almost nothing about. Yeah. So I'm very grateful for their help.
Someone was wondering about the name Rilke. What kind of name is Rilke?
Rilke is a German name, and in his family's story, Rilke is a surname on his mother's side. And so his name honors both his mother's family, which is Rilke, and his father's family, which is McKenna.
And we have an email from Teresa in Genesee Depot. The murder mysteries are great, but I really love Kathleen's youth fiction.
Oh, thank you so much.
She wonders if you'd talk a little bit about that.
Oh, I'd be delighted. Thank you. I have written 15 books for children and teens, and some of those are for American Girl, and some of those are standalones. In fact, I've written 5 novels about the Civil War, since our earlier caller mentioned that. And it is a particular joy to me to be able to write for young readers, and I have not given that up. I love seeing their faces when I visit a school or a library, and they're excited about reading, and they're excited about history, and there is just not much better than that.
I would certainly agree with that. And I want to talk a little bit about the publishing side of it, too. Mm. Now, I have the book in hand,
yes.
But we can get the book in many different ways and talk about that.
Yes. My publisher for the adult books is a press called Midnight Ink. They're located in Minnesota and have a wonderful upper Midwestern flavor to them. The book is published as a paperback original. So for those of you that like to hold a book in your hands, it is available in that way. But it is also widely available in all of the various electronic forms for tablets and for Kindle and for the Nook and things like that.
Has that made a difference for you in terms of the number of people who actually read your book?
I think it has. I think what the publisher is doing, and I'm so glad that they offer these all simultaneously, is they're really just making it easier for people to pick whatever format works for them. I've heard from a number of people who are so happy to have ebook versions because they have, for example, eye trouble, and they're able to adjust the font size, and suddenly books that they couldn't have ordered or couldn't have enjoyed because they didn't come out in large print, now they can. And different people have very strong opinions about how they want to read a book in what format, and it's available in both.
And I was just yesterday we were talking about people with disabilities, and mm-hmm. someone called in to say that his, I think it was a 90-year-old mother or whatever, still liked to read, and he got her an iPad.
Yes.
And she's now able to, with that iPad, make the type as large as she wants.
And can you imagine what a joy that would be for someone who perhaps had not been able to read a book for 20 or 30 years, and suddenly all these hundreds and thousands of titles are at their fingertips because they can do that.
Yeah, it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Although, I frankly still like to have the book in my hand.
I still like to hold a book, yes. I do occasionally read a book if it's only published in e-form, but personally, I guess I'm old school. I like to hold a book in my hands.
Kathleen Ernst, our guest today. Questions or comments for her as we talk with her about her writing and about her latest book, The Heirloom Murder Set in Old World Wisconsin. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Give a call or shoot us an email at talk@wpr.org or on my Facebook page at The Larry Mealer Show. If you had the opportunity suddenly to go back in time and live for a year and a time and place of one of the old world exhibits?
Oh, my.
Where would that be?
What a fascinating question. I would be sore-pressed to pick one particular exhibit or time period because I came to feel so close to so many. I guess I'll take the easy answer. The very first area that I worked at Old World was the German area. There are three farms there. And for the first year that I was there, every day I was in one of those farms. And I really came to connect with each of those buildings and the women who had lived there. So I'll say I'd go back to to one of those German farms.
Oh, we have Dale in Rhinelander up with a question. So let's go there. Hi, Dale. Thanks for calling.
Yes, I have. I want to know if she's going to do all the historic sites like Wade House and Heritage Hill and continue on to all of them or just stay in Old World.
Well, Dale, from your lips to my publisher's ears, I hope in time that I can visit as many historic sites in Wisconsin as possible. I'm also going to get Chloe out of the state from time to time and have her visiting other historic sites in other parts of the country. I just love the format and the structure of being able to do that. So if you hang in there, I hope we get there.
And you actually, your third book coming up.
Yes.
With Chloe is set at another place.
At another place, yes. Book three, which as far as I know will be out next fall, and I don't have a final title for it yet, but book three will see Chloe doing a guest curatorial spot on Rock Island, which is a state park off the tip of Door County. I'm sure many listeners are familiar with that. There's a magnificent lighthouse there that has been restored, and my husband and I have had the great good fortune to serve as docents there for the last 3 years for a week at a time. So I just couldn't resist getting Chloe up to Door County.
There you go, Dale. Thank you very much for that call. Before time runs out here, I also want to mention that you have a launch party tonight at one of my favorite bookstores.
Yes, Madison is so lucky to have an independent bookstore such as Booked for Murder, which is where my launch party is tonight. And I warmly invite all listeners to stop by Booked for Murder. It begins at 6 o'clock. And if you're not familiar with that independent bookstore, it's on University Avenue near the intersection with Campus Drive. So I'll have artifacts to show and photos and refreshments and door prizes, and it'll just be a wonderful time.
Oh, it starts at 6.
Starts at 6.
Okay. Well, I'm glad to hear that, and Book for Murder is such a great story.
It is. It's a treasure.
One of the characters is dealing with a lot of collectibles, and that were not only her own family's, but those of from the community.
Yes.
And the idea was that they would be the start of a historical collection. If mm-hmm. people want to donate something they think is of historical interest, where is a good place to start with something like that?
Well, there are always options. You can look for a local historical society if the item is from that area. If you think it would be of importance to a historic site such as Old World, Wisconsin, for example, if it was a piece that had to do with one of the ethnic groups that are represented. No historic site is able to accept every single piece that's offered, of course, but curators are always interested in hearing from people and learning as much as they can about the item, and they'll work with you there.
And I should mention that Shirley Bauman is on for appraisals Thursday at 11:45, so that's she's another guest who will be kind of dealing with some of these same issues. When you write, talk about that process for you. Are you a morning person, an afternoon person? Do you just pick up a...
In broad terms, I'm not a morning person, so you will not find me pounding the keyboard at 5 a.m. I have a very strong need to write, so I don't have to force myself to sit down. My biggest challenge is finding time and space to actually write, and several times a year I go away and take a week to really just focus on that. But when I get in the flow, I can easily write 6 or 8 or 10 hours a day. I often leave home and go to a coffee shop, so I just don't have as many distractions.
And you write for 6, 8, 10 hours?
Easily, yeah.
Oh, boy. And the process, do you rewrite a lot? Is it?
I do. I revise constantly. I do not outline, which many authors do, and there's no right or wrong way to approach it. I start with an idea and just sort of plow in. And that does mean that I'm constantly going back and making little changes and adjustments, and I revise constantly along the way.
And do you have a pretty good outline before you begin writing about how everything's going to turn out? Or
not usually, no. I often just start with a kernel of an idea. And in The Heirloom Murders, my new book, I started with just the events that unfold in chapter one. And I write a first chapter or two and sort of see how that feels, and then I start thinking about where is this going to go? How can I wrap this up? What other threads can I weave into this plot? So it's sort of I call my process organic.
Do you like your second book better than the first?
Oh, that's like asking a parent about a child. In many ways, I probably do, but I'm proud of both books.
And I have to say that Judith, my producer, had not read your first book and had read read the second, and said, I really had no problem. I didn't really have to read. Although now she's going to go back and read the first book because she really enjoyed the second.
I try to walk that knife edge. Each book will stand alone so that you can pick up any book in the series as the series grows without any problem. However, there will be that personal plot line as Chloe develops as a human being that will make a little more sense if you start at the beginning and read them all the way through.
Well, I'm sure you're going to have a great time tonight. You've got your launch at Booked for Murder.
Booked for Murder, 6 p.m.
6 p.m. And your website again?
KathleenErnst.com. That's Kathleen with a K.
Kathleen with a K. And if you would like, you can go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. We have a link to it. Kathleen, great fun. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
A lot of fun. Kathleen, her book, The Heirloom Murders, I really enjoyed it. And I certainly invite you to take a look at it as well. And Old World Murders was a good one, too. So those were both written by Kathleen Ernst. And we're going to continue talking about Old World Wisconsin, because we have with us in the studio coming up next, Marcia Carmichael, who has a new book titled Putting Down Roots, Gardening Insights from Wisconsin's Early Settlers. That coming up next on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.